Empowering humanity, supporting unity.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Paz Mesa Playhouse, the place where you come to play, slay, and lay down the way for you to become your realest, truest self. I'm your host, Jamie, the mindfulness coach.
And I'm Angel Santiago, also known as Life Coach Angel.
Thank you so much for being with us today here at the Paz Mesa Playhouse on Rise Above TV, where we are empowering humanity and supporting unity. If you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so right now. Your likes, shares, loves, all that really helps spread the love. This is episode number 5. Thank you so much for being with us today. As always, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel where we are providing mindful content for living and loving. Today, we are touching on the letter C in the word P-E-A-C-E. We've been dedicating our episodes to breaking down this acronym. And just a quick reminder, Paz Mesa, Paz means peace, Mesa in Greek means within, and it also means table. And so this is about tapping into the peace, the power of peace that lies within. And you guys are kicking it with us here at our peace table. So C is compassionate curiosity.
Yeah, so we're kicking it off today with compassionate curiosity. And we're going to start with the definition of compassionate curiosity, which means the ability to dig for more information without judgment, while simultaneously identifying with how that person is feeling and thinking. But not only identifying, but also understanding how that person is feeling and thinking.
Right, which brings up the word empathy. And I'm not sure if you already have like the difference, and maybe you have a little way of breaking down what is empathy and what's compassion and how do they tie together?
Well, when you talk about compassion and curiosity, we have two words, right? We have compassion and we have curiosity.
Right.
And as we define compassion, compassion is to suffer with the other person. A lot of people confuse sympathy, compassion, empathy. Those are all kind of like intertwined a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas like sympathy is like, oh, I feel bad for you.
Right. You know, but empathy, it's like empathy, you have a drive like, to want to do something for them. You can feel really their pain.
Feel their pain. That's where compassion comes in. And empathy, because even like, I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown.
Yeah, I love
her. So Brené Brown, if you're not familiar with her, look her up. She talks a lot about all this stuff. She studies empathy. She studies grief, vulnerability, shame, guilt, all these difficult emotions that human beings struggle with feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she studies it. And then she's got this little cartoon video on YouTube where she kind of breaks down the difference between empathy. And one of the things that she says that I really love between the difference between empathy and sympathy, it's like to have empathy for someone, you don't necessarily have to have an answer for them. You don't necessarily have to know what to do for them. You just have to be there. Like she in the cartoon, the person's sharing how they're feeling, what they're going through, and the person in the receiving end says, wow, I have no idea what you're going through, but I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? Yes. What do you need? Like, I'm here.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to know. You don't have to have an answer. But you're there and you're willing to go through it with them in whatever way they feel like they could use your help and your support, right?
Right.
And so sympathy is like, oh, I feel bad for you. Or that sucks. I'm sorry you're going through that. Like, there's sympathy, but you don't really feel what they're feeling at all. Like, you don't have that emotional connection to the person or to their situation, you know? And that's like probably the biggest distinction.
And I think a lot of people struggle with truly feeling from the inside what another person is feeling because of trauma. You know, there are parts when someone endures a lot of lack of safety, or if they grow up in a home where people weren't very curious about how they were feeling, and when they would share, they weren't very compassionate or understanding of what they were going through, so they didn't know how to quote unquote hold space for them, you know, which we could touch on a little bit in terms of like, what does that mean to really like hold space for a person? But the main ingredient is to be able to listen from an objective standpoint, again, going back to the non-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the compassionate curiosity, you want to be curious and you want to be mindful of how you ask questions and your tone and your energy and your attitude when you're listening to a person. It makes it hard for you to even feel where another person's coming from when you're holding on to a lot of judgment about what they're saying. You know what I mean? And I think when people start to get curious about their own judgment towards self, and they start to really work on that, it makes it easier to have it for another person. So this isn't just about compassionate curiosity for others, but when you go on your personal growth journey and you start to dig deep and really start to explore yourself and your traumas and your imbalances and things like this, it's important for you to figure out how to see and discover this stuff with compassionate curiosity, because mm-hmm. if you don't have that in place, then the transformation process is going to be that much more painful. You know, when we endure a lot of trauma, the parts of our brain, there's parts of our brain that have to do with the emotional aspect and being able to feel others. And when that actually hurts you as a child to need, it starts to actually come offline, we'll say. That's what's great about neuroplasticity, is we can revive these things within ourselves, and we can learn how to connect to compassion and empathy. So just because you don't naturally have it, it doesn't mean that you can't reconnect to
right.
it.
Right, that you can't learn it. That's true. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the other part of it is curiosity, mm-hmm. right? And so then curiosity is defined as this desire, this strong desire to know or learn or have this inquisitive interest about something. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, what we're talking about is in relationship to other people. So in this case, it's interest in other people's concern.
Yes. Yeah. Like, where is your pain really coming from?
Where is this coming from?
Like, how did you think, like, how did you get to this way of thinking about this mm-hmm. and feeling about this? Mm-hmm. And then being able to, again, listen like a child, like right. you're super curious.
It really
like,
is.
I really, really, and this is
like intimacy. Like, I really want to know.
Yeah, I want to know, especially if, let's say, it's a friend or a relationship.
Right.
And you really care.
Right.
Because it's also about considering the feelings mm-hmm. of others.
Yeah.
The more considerate of a person you are, the easier it is for you to be able to listen.
You would have to, like, take another person's perspective. Like, you have to move beyond your perspective, your own self, to be able to do what this is talking about.
Exactly.
Because until you cannot move beyond yourself and take on another person's perspective or experience or reality besides your own, mm-hmm. you're going to struggle with this.
Yeah, because when you really care what it is that they're talking about, you end up getting data, real like information that you didn't know about a person that will then help you know how to create more safety for them moving forward as well. And that's another thing. I think people really do struggle putting words to their thoughts and their feelings and like what it is that they're experiencing sometimes. And this is why communication, it's not just about being able to express yourself honestly and effectively. It's also about being an active listener. Thich Nhat Hanh, who passed away not too many months ago, I believe, was one of just like the greatest mindfulness teachers that existed, at least in my opinion. And there's a great interview with him and Oprah. It was like a Super Soul Sunday, and he talks about, I can't remember if he calls it active listening or compassionate listening. I think it's compassionate
probably
listening.
Compassionate listening.
And it touches on the elements that one would hold for a person. And he talks about that. He's like, it's about listening for the other person's pain. Mm-hmm. And now, one thing we do have to be aware of, and this has to do with boundaries, we've talked about boundaries mm-hmm. a lot, is those of us that are very empathetic, there's a word called empath, you yeah. know, and we all have the ability to be empathetic. We're actually wired like that.
Right.
Okay. And then there's things that happen to us that disconnect it from us, but others, they keep it intact, even with the trauma. And then they feel so much of what the other person is going through that they absorb
yeah,
it
they
like a
it
sponge. And then they take it on as if it is their responsibility.
Own, right.
And then that creates inflammation in their body. So it's beautiful to be an empathetic person, but just like there's a pendulum swing,
yeah,
one that has no
outside.
Empathy
right.
is unhealthy, and somebody who has
too much
empathy with no boundaries is also
right.
not very healthy.
This is true. And you mentioned listening, and I think that's one of the key things here. Like, you know, listening, and if you're familiar with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 5 is seek first to understand, then to be understood.
I love that.
And in psychology, they say, you know, the experts in communication, they say to truly have a conversation and to really have communication, you have to listen twice as much as you speak.
Mm.
Right. Mm. So again, we're back to listening. And here's the thing, listening to be able to understand. So seek first to understand, right? So what does it take to understand someone who's sharing their pain or their experience or their perception or their thoughts, their reality? For someone to take that on and to be able to understand that, they're going to have to ask questions.
Yes.
So in that questioning is to understand, not to question the other person's experience or reality or even criticize them.
Right. It's not
right.
about
it's
criticism.
It's not about that. It's about understanding.
Now, I will say this. There are times when two people could be in conversation, and if one of them is not accustomed to somebody caring in that manner. They're used to people asking them questions because they question them, right. Questioning everything about mm-hmm. them, which makes them feel unsafe.
Like and, under attack.
Yes. And they use that information to then later hurt them.
Right. That's
so
true.
There's a mistrust. And why do you care so much about right. wanting to know this information? And that's where it gets a little bit
that's true.
Interesante and tricky in partnerships.
And I think that's the distinction that we need to make is that when you're really, again, coming from a place of compassion or curiosity and you really want to understand the other person, the line of questionings or the questions that come are really to really get a better understanding of where the other person's at. Because it may be that you're having a disagreement or you're having a conflict. Mm-hmm. In order to find some resolution, there has to be understanding.
Right. And sometimes the other thing that I want to touch on is when people, they misunderstand the word understanding. Because it's funny. It's true, though, because there's been situations where when I say, oh, now I understand where you were coming from, that doesn't always mean, oh, I agree. I would have done everything you did.
Right.
And I also agree with everything that you did. Because sometimes people make choices and then there's cause and effect to things and it creates some havoc or some dissonance mm-hmm. or some pain. And so for us to be able to get to that place together and then be able to get to a place of being able to forgive, it makes it easier to have understanding and compassion before you can get to the place of forgiveness and letting go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the other thing is people say, oh, forgive and forget. And it's like, no, I kind of want to correct that a little bit. There's a forgive and a learn and a grow and then let go. You know, it's a knowing that you have to get to. And I just looked up the definition of understanding mm-hmm. and it has the word comprehension, the ability to understand something. And it has the word comprehension. And comprehension goes back to mm-hmm. what you were saying. It's like, you have to gather data
right.
and then be able to have the brain and the mind and the ability and the heart to process that information in a way that can help you step out of your own self and into another person's experience.
That's true.
That takes intelligence and that takes patience, which, by the way, was the first key P. in peace. It's patience.
Well, the only P.
Yeah, it's only P. Yeah, that's
the
true.
The only P.
The first P.
No, but it's funny because like everybody has their own subjective reality of what's happening. And when we have conflict, it's because you're in your reality, you're in your perception, and I'm in mine. Mm-hmm. And even just words alone, just one word can take a conversation in a totally different direction. Like, yes. For example, like I used to have a business partner. And when we were creating our company, we needed to get relationships with other people to mm-hmm. help us do what we were trying to accomplish with this. It was a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I needed to talk to certain people to reach an agreement about what we were going to offer, what they were going to offer, what they bring to the table, what we bring to the table. Does that work? Are you in agreement with that? Does that work for you? Does that work right. for us? Just the word agreement. And he freaked out and got so upset.
Oh, like
it's like, why do we need to do that? We don't need to do that. And I was like, whoa. So I stepped into compassionate curiosity.
Yes.
And I asked, what does the word agreement mean to you? Like, mm-hmm. what do you think I'm talking about?
Yeah, because you recognize a nonverbal right. and a quick glitch in him. Yeah.
So he said, agreement is a contract, which in reality, it is one of the definitions mm-hmm. of an agreement, but it's also a verbal agreement between two people when they say, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Right.
Your terms are good. Here are my terms. We're good. Mm-hmm. Like we can agree to what you're asking and I can agree to what you're asking.
And then later we write the contract to make it more.
Or there may not even be a contract. It's just simply reaching an agreement with someone that we're on the same page.
How can we get on the same page?
And that was it. But to him, having an agreement was signing a contract. And I was like, brother, that's not what I'm talking about at all. And so once you clarify, because again, I took the time to ask the question, I'm able to understand where they're coming from. Then I can say, oh, this is what I mean. This is what I'm talking. And then we can have further clarification. And then we can everything softens up. And then we can actually get to where we need to get to.
You get back to harmony.
Yeah, exactly.
And now there's synergy in the communication. Again, it's not this wait, there's a dissonance, a disconnect.
Right.
Oh, I just noticed the disconnect. I want to rectify
right.
that. And
the thing is, if you're not at a place, like you said, within your own personal journey, within your own healing, within your own growth, where you can take a step back mm-hmm. and then not take that person's reaction personally. So then you can say you can stay even Stevens, you can stay neutral to the situation, and then you can have, which is the E in peace.
Yeah.
then you can have a good conversation and you can reach understanding.
You know? And you can accept.
And you can accept that person's experience and reality and why they thought or they got confused, whatever. You
know? Yes. And see, what happens is people get really mad that that even happened in the first place.
Yeah.
And they spend a lot of energy and time and words and like just getting upset and fighting about that one piece when really, like, you go going back to taking a breath, stepping back and getting compassionately curious as to why suddenly this person mm-hmm. got real defensive.
Right.
And those are a bunch of different skills that as you use them again and again and again, it's easier. And to be able to use them with yourself because you're the one person that you can't escape from. And we talk a lot about that inner voice mm-hmm. that comes through and being able to listen to what it's saying with compassionate curiosity and then asking the right questions to discern it and break yeah. it down to get to the truth and the bottom of what's really going on within your own self before you just like make a yeah. decision or react.
And I think the more that you do that with yourself, because ultimately
that's where you
the
practice.
Quality of your relationships depends on your relationship with yourself. So yes. if you can have compassionate curiosity for yourself, if you can have patience with yourself, if you can have equanimity with yourself, if you can have acceptance for yourself, which are the letters that we've talked about up to this point.
Thank you.
You can do that with anyone else in your reality.
Exactly.
Anyone else.
Exactly. And also remember that there are times when we care more about understanding, which by the way is an element and a virtue of love. Okay. There are some people that care more about that than others. And sometimes we have to be okay with recognizing when someone does not value it to the same degree, mm-hmm. because then you're kind of, what is it called? Beating a dead horse or something like that.
Yeah.
You're trying mm-hmm. to get resolution with somebody who's not, doesn't even really give
right.
a shit about getting resolution.
Right. They're either just being conflict or they care more about being right.
Right. And that's another interesting thing about living in this manner is that, you know, when it's about someone being wrong and someone being right, that both people are losing in the situation.
Correct.
Like that. The win-win is when both people feel seen, heard, and understood.
Which is one of the Stephen Covey's 7 habits of highly effective people, which is
love it.
Choose win-win.
Exactly. So the more, let's see, there's something that came through a long while back when I was going through like in a meditation, it was like a person will only understand you to the degree that they're willing to understand their own self.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see who's shallow and who's deep. And for people like us, Angel, we are deep mm-hmm. thinkers, deep feelers, deep seers, deep everything.
Yep. And well, you call it something. We want to be able to enter over and understand
yeah.
anything. A person, a situation, a concept, a theory, like everything.
Yeah, we want to come at it from every direction and we want to come at it with compassionate curiosity. Yep. And that's a very lovely thing. And if everybody in the world was living in that manner, mm-hmm. we'd have so much less division. I think this is a great place to take a quick break for these special messages from our supporters.
Meet Aura, an app scientifically designed to work with your body's natural ability to rest and restore. Find thousands of meditations, soundscapes, and stories carefully crafted by the world's top therapists and coaches to help your brain ease into sleep. Aura uses the latest advancements in machine learning to understand what works for you so that every night, its recommendations become more personalized to your specific needs.
Rise Above TV offers mindful content for optimal living and loving. Check out P3, where conscious entrepreneurs share how they've tapped into their power, passion, and purpose. Season 3 coming soon.
And understanding, let's just touch on that because he said, okay, so there's understanding, interstanding, overstanding. And then you can tell me what you feel about these words mm-hmm. too, in terms of like how I kind of touch on them. In a nutshell, understanding is really taking the time to know all the stuff that's lying at the deep underbelly of the unconscious. So it's like knowing everything that shapes your identity, everything that lives within your subconscious mind that is your own, right? As much as you possibly can, so that you can understand. Now, when you do that, you're naturally going to learn some real basic shit about human behavior and psychology. You know what I mean? And nonverbals, you're going to like learn so much stuff that you're going to be able to use it with other people, which is going to be awesome. Inner standing to me is the felt sensations. When you have a thought or you have an emotion, you usually have a physical sensation going on inside of your body. So that to me is like, that's the word interoception. You start to develop a relationship with all the inner workings that are going on inside of you, and you build a relationship with yourself in that way. And then you have the overstanding, and that's seeing life from the big picture. That's getting to a place from in a spiritual mindset where you can, you've done so much work and learned so much stuff that you can easily see the bigger picture of like the tiny shit that's happening in the moment that might be causing some havoc. And you're like, oh, it's due to this, this, and this. And this is a lesson for me to grow. And this challenge is happening because of blah, 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 blah. Oh, and it's tied to this bigger picture here. Wonderful. And then it brings you ease more quickly.
Yeah. Now, it reminds me of like, particularly like when I'm listening, whether it's a client or a person, a friend, a significant other. When I'm listening to three things. So when you say the inner over under, it's like, it reminds me of I'm listening to the other person. I'm listening to myself, listening to the other person.
Yeah, bro.
And then I'm listening to the divine or to God.
Listening for both of you.
That's present, listening to everything.
Yes, that's it.
So it's like that. That's kind of like what I hear.
That's another trinity. That's a trinity in itself.
Yeah,
and also too, going back to anatomy, we'll say when it comes to, because there's a whole mind-body interaction that's taking place when we're having experiences all the time. And it's the brain and the belly is like instinct. The brain and the heart is intuition, and then the brain and the head is the intellect. And it's like being able to use all three parts of yourself
simultaneously
in situations, especially when listening to people. So that's really cool too.
You had a quote that you wanted, you texted it to me, wanted to share it about compassion, right?
Yes. The other thing too about understanding is having good insight. And I like that the word sight is an insight, and it's having the insight to be able to see.
And with insight, and oversight, there's like discernment too.
Yes.
I think that when those three things are working together,
yeah,
like what you were talking about, the intellect, the intuition, the intellect, and the instinct, when those three things are working together
in harmony,
and they're in harmony, they're in sync, that's when you have discernment.
Yes. And you're like in your optimal self. Mm-hmm. And from that place, you can really be the observer, the optimal observer of everything that's going on. Okay, so there's this quote that Einstein said, which, by the way, ties to something we touched on the last episode, and that is us accepting that there is an interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. That's why, you can watch a movie, and it's a movie, but if the person's running and it's a scary movie, you too also start to, like, feel that sensation.
Or if they're in pain.
Yeah, like if a mother's, like, lost their child, you're like, oh, some people can feel that. Or if you're walking down the street and all of a sudden, this is kind of gross, but let's say somebody starts throwing up and you see it. For some people that are real sensitive, like, you'll start to feel your gag reflex. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how is that happening? That
goes back to
interconnectedness, baby. Okay, so here's the quote. This is from Einstein, one of my favorite human beings that imparted beautiful wisdom. He said, "We are part of the whole, which we call the universe, but it is an optical delusion of our mind that we think we are separate. The separateness is like a prison for us. Our job is to widen the circle of our compassion so we feel connected with all people and situations."
I love that.
Bingo.
That pretty much narrows it down. Like if we understood that, all of us, right? If we stop this delusion of separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have a lot of the conflicts that we have.
Mm-mm.
You know?
No, because it would be seeing each other. Because right now we still see each other like different skin colors. And we are different. But if we start to focus on what is the same and what are we all really seeking, that alone is the same. And that is a brotherhood and a sisterhood, a humanhood that we've been lacking for so long on this planet. Time. And that's ultimately why we do the work that we're doing, because we want to restore peace. We want to restore it in our own personal selves, because that's really how you create the change you want to see in the world, is like, look at your own self first and reconcile the war that's going on within you so that you can bring the peace into the chaos. And then little by little, that starts to create shifts and change. So we're like, okay, let's create a different kind of pulse. We've been operating from a mindset and a heart set that has not served the greater good. And what if we start looking at this from a bigger picture? Yes, there is a self that we need to consider, but now is a time of like truly understanding selflessness and being there for each other and remembering what does it mean to really be friends.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say about the interconnectedness and differences and the sameness. So like a lot of times we want to focus on, on this, the differences, right? What makes us different.
Yeah.
But we see that in a negative way, right? But in reality, there's a lot of beauty there in the differences, because if it wasn't for the differences, if it wasn't for the contrast, we really don't learn much. Right. We really don't grow. And I don't know who said this, but they said, if everybody in the group is thinking the same, no one's thinking.
That's true.
No one is thinking. And it takes a certain kind of person to see the beauty in differences. Not everybody can see the beauty in differences.
I like beauty in diversity. It's like for us to find the beauty in diversity. Yeah. Like think about this for a second. Listen to how when you think about language, there's so many different languages and they're so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And granted, just like music, you might have some that you think, oh, I like the way this one sounds better than this or the other.
But that's just a preference.
But it's just a preference.
Right.
But that's so cool that we have so many languages. And then food, like, and music, and art, and clothing, and just like...
It's just how we express ourselves. Expression, you know. And it's interesting because for the most part, the normal reaction to the differences that it brings out of people, it's envy, anger, resentment, and even hatred.
I know.
Instead of like appreciating, like, oh man, look at that person, how they're expressing themselves. They're being who they are.
They're so authentic. Like, right now, authenticity is like, that's the new bomb, sexy, dude. That's where we're heading, man.
So it's like, we just got to get to that place where we can appreciate the differences. We know what's underneath it all that makes us the same and what connects us.
Light.
And then just being able to use, understanding what the purpose of the differences and the contrast is, because without contrast, you wouldn't even know light from dark.
Yeah, because
without contrast, you wouldn't even know hot from cold.
Mm-mm.
Life is all about contrast. Mm-hmm. And that's how we find the balance, by going from one extreme to the other. And then we find the middle. If you don't know what your edges are, you have no idea where the balance is.
Yeah, I call it the Goldilocks spot. You know, it's like, too hot. This porridge is way too cold. Oh, this is too hot.
And this is just perfect. This is just
right. The bed, the food, everything. Right. And it's like, that's what I'm talking about. Yep. Like, what's the Goldilocks spot for thyself? And balance, you touched on balance, balance, equanimity, equilibrium, homeostasis, harmony, they flow. It all goes hand in hand.
So if somebody's working on themselves and they're wanting to bring this concept of compassion and curiosity into their life, like, what are some things they can do?
I think the first thing that's coming to mind, again, it kind of goes back to like a journaling activity. It's noticing something. So it's take note of the top three judgments that tend to come up pretty consistently with yourself, maybe, and or even other people. It's noticing what are the top two or three things that you notice tend to bring up judgment and or uncomfortability a lot. And then become
curious about that.
And then become compassionately curious about that, and maybe pick one and start to like dive into it a little more deeply. Maybe you need some assistance. Maybe you need to cut some coach or whatever, or maybe you'll stumble across something that'll help you get to the bottom of it. But just bringing up the inquiry for your own
self
is powerful.
Yeah. And for me, I always go back to the same thing, which is meditation.
Yeah.
Because in meditation, what you're doing is taking a neutral neutral stance to your reality without judgment, without needing to change it, without needing to understand it. Just simply being with what is and letting it all be.
Yeah.
Without needing to like go into it.
Mm-hmm.
So this takes practice. Everything that we've talked about here takes practice. And one of the best places to practice that is in meditation, where you take this neutral stance to your current reality without judgment, without needing to change it, without needing to do anything with it.
Yeah. And I think that's another good point you brought up, accept, allow, you know, because maybe you find one of these things and then you bring it into your meditation to discern it and dive more deeply into it. Like in your experiential day to day, you're noticing it and you're just kind of taking some data and things like that. And then later when you go into your meditation, you can create a moment of your meditation just to really give yourself forgiveness for those things. And then maybe even you'll start to remember a voice of the past that used to do that all the time. And you're like, snap, that's my mom that I was always hearing to judge these people all the time.
Yeah.
And then I'm going back to the dance one, right? It's like, I remember being in my room and dancing, not having fun. And then her coming in and kind of like throwing some shade and some judgment.
You look ridiculous. Stop doing that.
Yeah. And you're like, you know what? I can let that go now. So it's maybe you can combine both of these things in some way.
I was watching a movie or a show. I don't know which one it was, but the main character was saying that when she looked at her mom, she looked at her dad, and she basically forgave them for not being the parents that she wanted them to be, and then thanked them for, and she was able to identify one thing to thank mom that she got from her. I think it was a comedian. Mm-hmm. She thanked her mom for, like, because of all the shitty experiences that her mom put her through, made her very resilient. And then she thanked her dad for another reason. I forgot what her reason that was, but just even saying, I forgive my mom or forgive my dad because they were not the parents that I thought they needed or I want them to be.
Yeah.
And then she thanked them for this one quality or this one thing that she felt that she received from them. It was really cool to hear that from her. So it's interesting that you bring up mom, because I think that's another great exercise to do. I know it's not, maybe it's not pertaining to this, but it's like, it could be something else that you can do along the journey.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Mother's Day just passed long ago. Mm-hmm. So that's the mother. That's father,
a great gift.
Yeah. It's a
and
great.
Father's Day is coming up.
Yeah. Father's Day is coming up. The best gift you can give thyself is the gift of knowing thyself so that you can grow thyself, so that you can heal and really shed light on the things that are looking for your time, energy, and attention, and TLC. I call it your T and your TLC, your tender loving care. And it takes a lot of humility. So anybody who's doing this work on themselves, y'all are helping balance the scales of humility and acceptance and
making humanity better.
And making humanity better, because that's really what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Any work you do on yourself, you're just naturally helping the planet and the people of this planet. So we thank you greatly.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for showing up for this episode and for this podcast.
Yes, we really appreciate every single one of you, especially if you share this with someone that you
give
feel,
it a like, comment, share it.
Mm-hmm. Any of that stuff. Any way that you can help spread the word about Rise Above TV and our endeavors here to empower humanity and support humanity.
Much appreciated.
Yes, much appreciated. And of course, connect with us on our social media pages too. Mm-hmm. You can search at Janie the Mindfulness Coach.
Or at Life Coach Angel.
Be sure to tune in for the next episode when we'll be covering the word equality. And as always, we are here to share
pieces of peace for your everyday life. Peace being you.
Paz Mesa Playhouse is a Rise Above TV production. To be a part of the mindfulness movement, visit riseabovetv.com and subscribe to our YouTube and podcast channel. Be sure to like and follow us on social media.